All rise, and welcome to the Crunch Exchange. Actually, Steve, you have a trivia answer to give.
Yeah,
away.
I do.
Okay.
Derrick Rose played at Memphis 1 year. John Calipari.
Ooh. I thought that was the answer.
Carry on, wayward son.
Okay. We begin. There was quite the debate on Tiki and Tierney this afternoon over an incident that happened with Russell Westbrook and a young fan during the Thunder Nuggets game the other night. Foul was called, play stopped, and Westbrook was on the court, and a young kid on court side did reach out to touch Westbrook. Now, it wasn't anything malicious. He was a pretty young child, but it brings up plenty of other debates about fan-player relations at sporting events. In all levels of NHL, MLB, NFL, fans are separated by a barrier of some kind from the fans on the playing surface. This limits the interaction with fans and players to just as they come into and out of the locker room or anything on the sidelines if the player should choose to come over. In the NBA, you've got maybe 5 feet on the baseline, and on the sidelines, there is little to no space for players to work around. You got broadcasters, cameramen, photographers, all others lined up within feet of these professional players trying to do their job to not get hurt. Westbrook then said that he talked to the father of the child that reached out and touched him and said, told the dad he can't allow his son to be reaching out to touch people like that, and also followed it up by saying, quote, there's too much leeway for the fans to be able to touch the players and get away with it. And then you can't react and do the things that we need to do to protect ourselves. But I can't do anything. What am I going to do? Hop in the stands? But there has to be some type of rule or type of boundary set so that you can't allow that. So he just leads us to the prospectus. The NBA needs to increase the distance between fans and players on the court.
Well, first of all, we need to increase the IQ of the parents with a child that small. I mean, football players are big. NBA players are big. They're also really fast and really strong. And a little kid like that gets whacked and falls on the court and hits his head. You're talking brain damage. I don't know if they need to increase the distance, but just parents, if you have a child at the game, what are you doing? How did he get that far away from you, you moron? So I'm going to put this one on mom and dad, the pinheads, and sell that.
I also have to sell one more thing. That's because, Steve, you were wrong again, as Bryce Harper has been signed by the Crunch Exchange today. I've got the sticky note. At 4:17 last Thursday, you said Harper would be signed by 3:45. It is 3:51, and you are wrong. Adding to your cold streak that has been so cold, it dropped a foot of snow on the city and a reminder for you to stop making bets and guarantees. So let's get to another bet and guarantee. Bryce Harper has allegedly met a second time with the San Francisco Giants in Las Vegas, where the two sides are apparently working towards a long-term 10-plus year deal. Machado got his 10 years. Nolan Arenado got $32 million a year, making him the highest-paid position player in baseball, and no one is loving this more than Scott Boras. At one point this weekend, the Phillies were closing in. Now the Giants have gone back for a second meeting. And somewhere in all of this are the Dodgers, who did make some moves early in the winter to add someone like Harper, but are now inching close to the luxury tax line and they don't want to go over. So this is anywhere between a 1-4 horse race for Harper now a week into a spring training. The Giants' higher-ups allegedly want to sign a highly marketable player. Harper is for sure that is a perennial all-star, one of the few baseball players who actually has a personality and shows it. He's good, he puts butts in seats, and when you're good in putting butts in seats, that helps marketing a whole lot. Giants also have the money and the motivation to add Harper for on- and off-field reasons. I'd also like to remind you, Bryce, I know you're listening, Hunter Strickland does not play for the Giants, and you don't have to play against his new team for the next 3 years. The prospectus Bryce Harper signs for the Giants.
I guess when it comes to Bryce Harper, maybe my answer should be I have no idea.
He's just gonna sit
I still don't see him signing with the Giants. I know it's not over, but again, if I have to make a call, that would be a sell.
Second meeting, Steve. It's very important. Speaking of important, another big important news break this week. The Eagles will not be franchise tagging their lone Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback. This will make Nick Foles a free agent on March 13th and far and away making him the best free agent option on the quarterback market. Teams in need of a franchise quarterback that also that has the proven ability to win a Super Bowl include Miami, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Washington, and the New York Football Giants. Miami still hasn't committed either way to Ryan Tannehill, since he is a year or two away on deciding on the Red Rifle if he's their long-term man. Andy Dalton and then leaving Jacksonville, Washington, and New York to fight it out for their division rival. Washington gave up a lot of money and picks to get Alex Smith. Cap-wise, I'm not sure how that's going to work. History does say, though, that Nick Foles is better as a backup. The Giants, on the other hand, seem to be locked into one of Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins at the sixth pick, and while the Jags are a disaster, if their defense comes together and if they have even league average quarterback play, they can get into the AFC Championship game. While it doesn't sound like the Washington football franchise would want to be paying that much money for two number one quarterbacks, could very easily see the Giants having three marquee quarterbacks on their roster, leaving the Jags actually being the best option and fit for Foles. The prospectus, Nick Foles signs with the Jaguars.
He seems like an intelligent man and a happy guy and a successful guy. Why would you go there? Why would you sign with the Jags? They've had two good moments since they joined the league in 1995.
Is one of them adding pools to their stadium?
No. I'm talking about actually on-field football actions. So for his sake, I'm going to say no and sign.
The Combine is this week, and that is always a fun time of watching players do drills with the intensity of an Olympic gold medal game. One of the more important, but actually not so important measurements is height. Can't have a team measure a guy with no one watching while he stands on his tippy toes wearing cleats and a helmet so that this guy on paper is a couple inches taller than when he's walking around. Kyler Murray is that guy. On the Oklahoma Sooners website, he's listed at 5'10 because he measured in at 5'9 7/8". The A's, after they drafted him, listed him at 5'11 because apparently he grew an inch after he was drafted. But at the Heisman ceremony in December, he stood next to the 6'1" listed Tua Tagovailoa, and he looked almost a foot shorter. Sure, Tua might not be 6'1", but even if Alabama lied and added an inch or two, he's still a lot taller than Kyler, and it's obvious it's more than 2 inches. The legend of Kyler's height keeps growing or shrinking as time grows on. Could all of this have been a trick? Is Bama making Tua shorter for some reason on their roster? Is Murray a sloucher? The prospectus, Kyler Murray measures in at 5'10".
So we're going to find out for sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
And if he's 5'9 7/8", they'll say that, right?
Yes.
I'm going to sell that. He's not 5'10".